Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I'm John Schmelk. This guy to my left is Jeff Fiegels. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513. Or if you're on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll try to get to some of your tweets over the course of the show as well. But we have some busy phones. We'll get to your calls in just a second. And Jeff, we're on the verge of our second preseason game. And here's the kind of gist I want to take on it this week, because I was taking a look at the future schedule, and I probably should have realized this earlier in the week. I'll blame my new child, Hayes, for not doing so.
Oh, you got to blame her all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but just don't blame your wife. That'll get you in trouble.
I have learned that lesson already, actually. So this past week for the Giants was very important, because if you take a look at the next 2 weeks, the Giants play Monday night, which means Tuesday night's a virtual day off because it's the
Tuesday
day after the game, right?
Yep. And then it's going to be late.
Then they play the Jets on Saturday, meaning Friday is a virtual day off. Which means next week all they have is Wednesday, Thursday. And you know how this goes. Those probably aren't going to be heavy practices Wednesday, Thursday either, because they want guys fresh from one game to the next. Then the following week you play Saturday, and then you play again on Thursday. So same deal. Sunday's going to be off day. Wednesday's going to be an off day. So what do you have? You have Monday and Tuesday. And again, those days are not going to be serious practices. So I think today's practice is going to be one of the longest of camp. Tomorrow, I think, is going to be kind of the wind-down days to get ready for the game. So today is the last major practice of training camp to get this team physically where you want them to be for that season opener against Dallas.
Major practice. And so, you know, listen, the way they make the schedule, sometimes you just have to go along with it, right? I mean, it's tough. These guys are going to play, what is 3 games in 10 days now? I think it was 3 days and 11 days, whatever. But you know, you have to – you look at the way that these guys are feeling coming out of camp. So you're right. I mean, today they're going to put everything in the book today. I mean, everything they've got to go out there, button up a lot of things. They're not game planning, trust me, because they don't do that for preseason games. But to your point earlier, what you said is they got this game on Monday, then they play again on Saturday. That third game, as we all know, is the most important game, because that's the one where the starters pretty much play the one preseason game. So not a lot of preparation time. And from an evaluation standpoint, a lot of those younger guys, you think about this game and then the last game, because the new roster changed, they're going to be able to play in that last game. This gives them a chance to go out and kind of show what you can. So if you're a young guy, this is a really important week for you to get better and go into the game and understand that the following week you're not going to get a lot of reps the following week.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll throw out there too, Jeff, and I think this is interesting, is I wonder if the Giants are going to do earlier cuts anyway. Because to me, I don't know if you're going to want to play all 90 guys on the current roster in that finally preseason game, because don't you want to see the guys that are really in competition for those last couple spots on the 53 get extra playing time in the fourth preseason game? Do you want to? And the guys that really don't have a chance, don't you want to do them a favor by putting them on the street sooner to see if they can hook up with somebody else? So I would not be surprised. I'm not saying we're going to see the full cut down to 75 like you would have seen in years past. Yeah. I would not be surprised if after the second or third preseason game, you do see the roster pared back a little bit. Because teams can do it if they want, even if it's not mandated by NFL rules.
I think it's a good point. I also think that the team from a perspective is that they don't give the guys a chance. I mean, really, that last preseason game, there's a couple things you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Injuries. Mm-hmm. Guys getting hurt that maybe you say, okay, if we had just cut them and then now we got to pay them. That's the first thing. The second thing is from my perspective, is if I'm the coaching staff, I don't want to get my starters hurt. So I need at least 22 guys out there to go out and feel the team and go too deep. So there's 44. And then minus your starters or plus your starters, 50-something are the regular roster. So I think you do keep them around with the risk of injuries, but I think that you are going to rest your starters that last game, so you need as many guys as you can to get out there. You know the quality of that last game is horrible.
Right.
It's
absolutely
so bad.
And here's the thing, Jeff, and now we get to this game, and I think what you want to take a look at is see exactly where you are at a couple of important spots. And I think, to me, the one thing you really didn't know coming off that last preseason game is what your backup quarterback situation is. And I wonder if the poor play from Johnson, the big mistake from Geno Smith, which is something he had in his years past with the Jets, if that's maybe one of the reasons McAdoo the other day in his press conference maybe left the door open to Davis Webb fighting into that second quarterback spot. I don't still think it's going to happen. He just hasn't taken enough reps in practice, in my opinion. But I think this is a really big game on Monday night in Cleveland for both Geno Smith and Josh Johnson to separate themselves and stake a claim to that backup quarterback spot.
I think that every game is going to be important for all those guys. I think that we kind of know what Davis Webb's going to do. He's going to be your third guy. They're going to just kind of bring him along. But I think it's going to go to the very end. I think they want to give these guys an equal shot at the competition.
Yep.
Because, you know, right now, all the indications that from what everybody says is there, you know, it's an even field. I think that Geno Smith, as we all can attest to, played better in the first preseason game. Still has his mistakes, like we know. But you're right. And another thing, too, that a lot of the fans don't understand what goes on on the practice field is the evaluation continues. We don't get to hear a lot about that. We're not in the meeting rooms. We're not in the staff rooms. We don't know what's being said behind the doors. So we can only guess at what the competition is like right now and how you want to grade them. Mm-hmm. But it is very important for those guys. Another important position is, and I feel like, is that running back position again.
Can you hold it 1 second? Yep. I want to read you the quote from Ben McAdoo yesterday on the quarterbacks before we get to the next spot real quick. All right?
You scared me there.
No, that's okay.
I thought there was breaking news.
So no, not at all. But I think this is pertinent to the quarterback question. So I want to make sure we get that out there before we move on to the next spot. The question for Ben McAdoo is, are you increasing the workload of Davis Webb? Because he saw a lot of scout team reps yesterday because they're actually game planning a little bit for the Browns, and we'll talk about that in a second. And this was his answer. We are giving him some more team snaps. Today was a little bit of a change of pace. We are learning to practice on how to prepare for an opponent. So we had some ups and downs today. We were a little slow with our tempo, blah, blah, blah. But Davis is going to get an opportunity to take some more snaps in that environment, yes. Then a follow-up question. It has been assumed that Geno and Johnson are battling for the number two spot. Is there any chance that Webb can jump in front of those two guys? He answered that. I think we all have to be careful making assumptions. Josh and Geno are competing right now for the number two spot. And if that doesn't look the way we want it to look, Davis will get a crack.
Right.
So in other words, those two guys better play better. That would be the shot across the bow from the head coach in that quote.
And listen, 99% of the time, these coaches, when they are asked a question, the first thing that they think of in their mind is, okay, how am I going to answer this in a way that if the guys are reading it in the press, a little bit of a message, so to speak, you know? So I think we all want to see Davis Webb play. I mean, the backup position at the New York Giants is a pretty nice position to be in because you know you're not going to play. Knock on wood.
Thank you.
History says that you don't. But
yes,
the
correct.
Fact is that I'd like to see a little bit of more of Davis Webb, and if that's the fact, hey, listen, they drafted him to be the guy after Eli Manning. Let him play, you know. But those two guys got to play better. I mean, and you know that McAdoo does not want to turn the ball over. So, you know, Geno Smith has a tendency to turn the ball over a little bit, right? But
now jump to running backs.
Okay, so the running back situation. You know, I got to thinking about this a couple days ago when we were going to do our MSG training camp live show. We were talking about the running backs. I'm wondering if, you know, of McAdoo coming out at the very beginning and naming Perkins as the starter was to put a little bit of pressure on him to see how he can react to that type of pressure, being in the limelight and things like that. And, of course, you know, we saw what happened in the preseason game. He had a couple good runs, and then nothing really was enlightening there. But there is a definite competition at that position, in my opinion. And I think you're going to get a lot more workload out of Perkins in the next three games, just to see if he can solidify that position that he's been given as far as the starter. Now, don't think for a minute that Darkwa and Gallman and those guys aren't going to get their reps because they want to be able to see what they can do. But I also love the way that Gallman can catch the football out of the backfield, which I think gives him a little bit of an advantage sometimes. But Darkwa, we talk about special teams. Those guys, Darko is a guy you have to say, okay, the guy can play special teams. He is really, really good. And that is an asset that he's going to have. So if he doesn't make that starting position, he's going to get his reps in the games anyways. But special teams. And we always talk about it. All these young guys, you know, you look like a guy like Avery Moss. He has to be able to play special teams to make this team. I mean, it's something that he never did in college. And now he was saying after the game against Pittsburgh, like, I never really understood how special teams was so important. Hello.
They are now.
They are now. Exactly. And that goes for all the young guys.
And the final point we'll make before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513 is the game planning part. I mentioned this earlier. The Giants did what they call cards during practice the other day. And, folks, what that means is that you're basically one side of the ball is – mimicking what your opponent's going to do on game day.
Sure.
Normally what your scout team does during the season, and they call cards because before each play, one of the assistant coaches will hold up a large card showing the offense or defense what they're supposed to do on that play to help mimic the opponent so the other side of the ball can game plan against it. So I think that will help
the team practice.
And the two quarterbacks specifically to play better in this game. Because in the last game, you're not game planning against the Steelers. You're not running plays at all to counter what they do. So some plays might be doomed to fail before they're even run based on what the opponent's doing. So I do think that part of this should make the game and the offense specifically look a little bit better in the preseason game on Monday night.
Yeah, and it's they're in their game week preparations now. Mm-hmm. So they're and McAdoo said that, you know, we are preparing, we're doing game planning now to prepare how to game plan for an opponent. During the first part of training camp and going to the Pittsburgh, there was no game planning, there was no cards. Now they're getting into the point where they got to teach these guys how to have a practice on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it is. This is, we're going to do defense, more emphasis on defense here, or more emphasis on offense. Here's the cards. The card guys, you just basically those I always call them GAs, but they're mm-hmm. coaches here. Mm-hmm. They work. That's what they do. They go draw those cards up. They got stacks of them in their office with their little Sharpie pens and their rulers with the zeros. Obviously, they pre-print the formation stuff on the cards, but that's what you got to do. And coaches get crazy with those cards, and they get so mad in practice if you can't pay attention to a card and run the stupid play. I mean, seriously, if you can't look at the card and go out there and run that, I'm not asking you to memorize a play. I'm asking you to look at one card and say, that's what I do. I run an out, and you run a go. Goodbye.
And by the way,
next guy in.
If you can't run a play after you see it on a card 15 seconds before the play, how are you going to do it on the field when you're being told what to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's get to the calls. We'll take your calls in the order in which they were received, the 201-939-4513. And again, Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Bash in Ohio will lead us off. Hi, Bash. How are you?
Bash?
How we doing, John? What's going on, Jeff? How we doing?
You're doing great. How you doing, Bash?
I'm doing good. I wanted to call and see, we got a lot of calls over the week and been listening over the week, listening to the show as far as the offensive line and Eric Flowers. So I wanted to call and ask and talk about his backup, Chad Willis. So I know that Chad got some playing time in first reps last week, and Ben McAdoo had high praise for him earlier in the week. So I just want to see how Chad been looking as far as preseason, OTAs, training camp, and everything. Is there any way that he can challenge or push Eric Flowers for that starting left tackle position as far as week one? Is there any chance as far as how he looked so far?
No.
As far as strength, everything?
No.
As far as pushing Eric Flowers for that starting left tackle position?
No. Nope.
Unfortunately, no.
Not even close. You're not going to have
a free agent.
You're not going to have an undrafted rookie free agent be your starting left tackle unless you want to have the Giants' backup quarterback starting in weeks two or three.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
listen,
not going to happen.
As much as people want to talk about Eric Flowers and his production and whatever you want to call it, he's better than Wheeler. He's okay. He's a first round draft pick. He has 2 years of starting experience. So, listen, the Giants are all in on Eric Flowers. People just have to get used to it, okay? There was nobody in free agency. There was nobody in the draft that they felt that was, you know, good enough to do that kind of stuff.
And no one went in free agency that was affordable.
There you go.
Correct.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's always dollar signs that we have to preface
right.
that. Okay, so listen, the guy just has to play better, and you hope that there's a plan. If he doesn't, we don't know what that is. It might be a little bit of a, you know.
Maybe it's Justin Pugh.
That's
Who
what
knows?
I'm saying. It might be kind of a, you know, move a guy here. But, you know, a lot of times you move one guy, you got to move two guys.
Of course.
And so it begins to a little trickle-down effect, and you lose that continuity that you're trying to build within the offensive line.
But having DJ Fluker on the team does make it a little bit less painful maybe if you do have to move Pugh outside. But, again, that is a last resort situation here, and I don't think that's something the Giants would look at least for a few weeks. They're going to give Flowers a chance here in the regular season to succeed or fail in his third year. They're not going to pull the plug based off what he does in practice. They're going to see what he does in a game first, real game in a regular season environment.
And you really want to see in the next 3 weeks, Flowers is going to get plenty of playing time. And so, you know, let's just pump the brakes a little bit. I know it's hard for people to understand, but, you know.
And by the way, the Browns actually have some pretty good pass rushers. It'll be a very interesting thing to watch. You know, Myles Garrett's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and even though he's a rookie, he's
pretty good.
I read a little article that he's moving up the charts pretty quickly.
What did Greg Williams call him, like the most advanced rookie he's ever had on his roster?
Yeah,
I mean, frankly, it's Greg Williams, so whatever. But yeah, we'll see.
Listen, we know the guy can play football.
Yeah, exactly. Bash, what else do you got for us?
Okay, now going off what y'all both said, I just want a little feedback as far as what y'all just said, and I'll take it offline. As far as, is that a problem as you say, as far as Chad Willard being an undrafted rookie and stuff, and Eric Flowers being a first-round pick? Now, I know we always talk about as far as competition and McAdoo being the best 53 on the player. Is that as far as it was just like he's automatically plugged in as left tackle just because he's the first round and it's his third season?
No.
And it's not as far as do with, as far as him like playing time, as far as if Chad Willard is doing good in training camp and everything and in the games and playing good and he's a better left tackle, he won't get a chance just because he's an undrafted free agent rookie.
No.
And Willard's then Flowers the first round, that don't play a factor as far as I wanted to.
Thank you, Bash.
I'll take that off the line.
Appreciate the call, man. Thank you. No, that is not what we're saying. Jeff was simply pointing out that he's more talented and that's why he was a first round pick.
Yeah.
Chad Wheeler, look, the kid's trying hard. He's working hard. I could see him being on the practice squad this year and working him as a developmental player. Maybe he'll make the team over Biznovati. I don't know. It's possible. But, guys, I've seen a couple one-on-one reps against, like, Jason Pierre-Paul. Didn't go well. The kid's learning. He's an undrafted rookie free agent. No, he's not playing better than Eric Flowers. Period. Stop. Anyone that has told you that doesn't know what they're talking about.
And if he was, this is all we would be talking about right now.
Correct.
Yeah, it would be all over the news. Where did this guy come from? Holy smokes.
Yeah,
he is handling OV. He's handling JPP. How did this guy – we would be talking about it. No one's talking about
and
it.
And by the way, he's got to handle Devin Taylor and Romeo Okorah first, by the way. The guys he's dealing with as the second-team offensive lineman. So,
which, by the way, is
correct.
A really good battle.
Yes.
That position is a really good battle with Taylor – Kuara, Kent, Kerry Wynn.
Yep.
You got some guys there that it's going to be an interesting roster moves there, but lots of talent there.
I wonder if all three of those guys can figure out a way to squeeze onto the roster. It'll be tough, but I wonder if they can figure out a way, since all three of those guys, quite frankly, can move around and maybe move into defensive tackle a little bit in spots, maybe all of them can be on the roster. I don't know. It's going to be tight.
I think it's a good question, and I think that one of the wild card there is that Kerry Wynn has the ability and the versatility to play a little bit more inside.
And he's also a good special teams player,
And he plays the run extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think, in my opinion, you got to look at Owe as kind of a guy that's definitely on the bubble there. Avery Moss is a draft pick, which the Giants typically like to keep their guys, at least for a couple years.
Well, how many defensive linemen do you think they'll keep? Let's start there.
All right, let's start inside, okay? We obviously know the two givens, and right now it's Bromley and Snack, so there's two guys. You got Tomlinson. There's
Tomlinson
three
on the roster.
We're gonna have one more.
And Robert Thomas is rotated in and out of that starting
okay,
lineup.
So
do you think they're gonna keep four defensive tackles?
Okay, so let's just call it three for now. Okay,
that's fine.
Okay, so three there. We got the two outside,
the starters.
The
that's five.
That's five. You got to have two backups. That's seven.
Okay.
So I think that it's either eight.
Can you go as far as nine?
Yes.
Okay, so then I think there's a chance both those guys are on
the roster. And I think you can go as far as nine because of the linebacker position.
So basically what you're telling me is that I'm going to throw a list of guys out there, right? Between Bromley, Robert Thomas, Kerry Wynn, Okwara, Taylor, and Avery Moss, they're keeping five of those six.
Hmm.
Who's the odd man out? That's the question.
I want to say Taylor, but the guy's a veteran. He had 4.5 sacks last year. He had a good year. He played 4 years. I mean, okay, I want to say him, but you know veterans.
I think Taylor's a better – if I had to guess right now, I think Taylor's a better player than Kerry Wynn.
Okay.
In my opinion. In fact, he might be a better player than Okwara too, but Okwara's a younger guy with maybe a little bit more potential.
I gotta think that Okwara is on this team because there's the,
I would
ups,
think so
the upside
too.
Of it. Okay,
I
so
agree.
That brings us down to two of those guys. When you talk, Kerry Wynn, it's going to be very difficult.
Or do you only keep three defensive tackles then because the other guys can move inside?
That's what I'm saying. So
because
Kerry Wynn could be a guy
Moss
that could
on too if you let either Bromley or Robert Thomas go. But now, the way Bromley's practice, I don't see how you could do that.
No, you can't. I think Bromley has made tremendous strides. I think at this time last year, we weren't talking about Bromley.
No. And frankly, even the first week of camp, we weren't talking about Bromley. He has come on the last couple of weeks and done a very nice job.
I like I said, with Wynn, I think Wynn, you're a win-win there. Hello. You can have a defensive end and a defensive tackle, so you might be able to just kind of mix a guy in there. But, Avery Moss might be one of those guys, a fifth-round draft pick. It might be a guy you let him go and put him on the practice
I'd
squad.
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. Fifth round pick.
Yeah, but how much is he going to play for? He's never played special teams before. Never played special teams in
college. I guarantee he's not getting to the practice squad. Another team will claim him in a second.
Okay.
In fact, another team in the division that needs defensive linemen, Dallas Cowboys, would probably claim him off waivers in a New York second.
Then we might be talking about it as, you know, someone.
And, you know, you can't overload it one spot if you're able to, you know, maybe they only keep four linebackers instead of five because you just don't need as many anymore. I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, I want to get back to the calls. Let's go to Dave in Cranford. He's up next. Hi, Dave.
How are you guys?
Doing great, Dave. How are you?
Hello, Dave.
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you again. You just stole my thunder. I think there's a real chance on that position that you guys are talking about that whoever doesn't make it, if that's the way the numbers shake out, I do think that there's a chance that they would go with three D tackles and keep an extra D end in if they think they can get away with that. But either way, I think the Giants could end up seeing somebody line up against them in a Dallas Cowboy uniform in week one.
You're right. Because the Cowboys,
I don't think that's out of the question.
Yeah, the Cowboys are so stretched thin at that position. They don't have any stars there to begin with. Then with all the suspensions they've had to deal with, I would not be surprised about that. And, Dave, the other thing, too, and I should point this out in the defensive tackles, can you trust, given his history, to have Bromley be one of your only three defensive tackles? He has a long history of being unable to stay healthy as somebody that hasn't even played a whole lot. So yeah. Can you trust him to play major minutes and stay healthy and only keep three defensive tackles? I don't know. I think that's dangerous territory. You know what I mean?
I don't disagree. I think a lot of it goes to, which I don't know this exactly, is, you know, who could they put onto the practice squad that they could pull up at a moment's notice. But I think you're right. I think that's a fascinating one. I really wanted to go back to, because this is, I've just been listening to all this stuff. I think we're in the dog days of summer, both for the players in terms of training camp and all of that. And I think we're also in it in the midst of covering the team and the media reaction. Because I'm not a Flowers. I'm not a defender. I'm not saying, you know, I watched all of his games as we all did. And there were some pretty, you know, significant, you know, bad plays that scare you out there with him. However, I do think that the negativity on this guy has gotten out of control, and I don't think it's justified. And what I went back and watched the game on Friday night, because I tape all of them, and just watched his, you know, 10, 12, you know, snaps, whatever it was. And there really is a case that you can say that, you know, I thought Richburg and I would say Pugh and Jerry, I thought the interior of the line got pushed around a heck of a lot more than Flowers did. No one's, you know, suggesting anything amongst those guys. And I think the other comment I'd like you guys to make, and I'll stop talking, and that is we went into the year worried about Flowers and Hart, and they were, like, talked about like they were twins, right? And it was Flowers and Hart. All of a sudden now, there's no talk about Hart because he's been having a great camp. And, again, from an offensive line perspective, you know, not that I don't want Flowers to take a step forward, and I think he will at some level, but if you can have Hart take a big step forward, and now all you have to do is roll protection to one side or chip with a back or use a tight end to help Flowers in certain obvious passing situations like third and long, that makes the offense, you know, that much better in that scenario. And again, it's just not being talked about. This guy Flowers is like, you know, between fans and you know, the media, he's like, you know, I think it's a little bit of a compliment to the team because they don't really have any other place to go to talk about any weaknesses. So I think that's part of it. So just like to get your guys' comments on all that.
Dave, I think you hit a lot of that right on the head, to be honest with you. I think you made some really good points. I think at this point, you know, you're sitting out there at practice every day. There's only been one game played. You run out of things to say or talk about.
No question.
And frankly, people get bored out there. Yeah. And, you know, I get it. I mean, I understand it. And you're right. I think a big spotlight has been put on Flowers, and I get that. I agree with you. I think in the game he was fine. I thought he played okay. I really did. Hart and Flowers are different guys. I think we've probably seen a little bit more progress from Hart in terms of his technique in camp from what I've seen, in my opinion. And I think talking to David Deal and Sean O'Hara, they've basically kind of echoed the same thing to me. I'm not sure if they echoed the same thing to you, Jeff. And I don't know how far along Hart is. I think he's going to be better. Is he going to be an above average or really good right tackle? I don't know that yet. The same way I don't know where Eric Flowers is. But, yeah, I mean, I think he was right about a lot of what he said.
The problem with Eric Flowers is that it came in with high expectations. He's their number one draft pick.
And he's more physically gifted than Bobby Hart. There's a reason Flowers was the, you know, ninth overall pick and Bobby Hart was a seventh round pick.
It's a very difficult position to play, my friend. Okay, so, you know, I think we do get a little bit bored at the end of camp and start talking and nitpicking on things and this and that. That's why I keep telling everybody, you know, let's just wait until we can get to the end of the training camp and get into the regular season. And there we don't have a crystal ball. We cannot tell right now, okay? And as much as this might sound crazy, these guys are just practicing their technique and stuff. There's no game planning. There's not studying your opponent. You know how great it is when you're going to be able to, when you know a guy you're going to go up against on a scouting report, I know that I'm going to be going against this guy, and I know his tendencies and things like that. That's going to help his preparation for getting the regular season. Not a lot of that going on because you don't know who's going to be going against. There's so many guys on the roster.
No, I think that'll change a little bit in the next couple preseason games.
Okay, so let's
games,
see
so
that.
We're going to get a little bit of a better feel
and I
for
think
it,
that
Dave.
Third week against the Jets, listen, the Jets are going to have their ears pinned back because they want to beat the Giants so bad.
And they have a good defensive line.
And they have a good defensive line. It'll be a good test for that offensive line as a whole. I'm not going to single out Ereck Flowers. They always the Jets game is going to be. We're all looking at Ereck Flowers. Look, well, look at the whole offensive line for God's sakes. Okay, Bobby Hart included. Fluker is going to get in there and get some reps. All right, I think here you brought it up earlier, John. Fluker is a guy that they felt that they went out. They didn't have to overpay for him. He's got a lot of experience. He's a former first-round draft pick. They have a lot of confidence that this guy can come in and play if something happens, whether it's the left tackle, the right guard, the right tackle. He's your guy that can be plug and play, okay? But let's just see what happens here with these guys. And they both have to play better. We want them all to play better. But I think to your point, is we're a little bit bored with what's going on, and we're nitpicking everything there is, okay?
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate the call, buddy.
Hey, the guy wore out he wore dirty socks to practice the other day. How can a guy wear dirty socks to practice? That's what we're at, point.
And by the way, we talked about the Jets and their strong defensive line. I think people don't realize is the Browns probably aren't going to be very good this year again, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
I get that. But Myles Garrett, first-round pick, Danny Shelton,
a lot of first-round picks.
High
on this
draft
roster.
Pick, yes, there are. Emmanuel Ogba, high second-round pick. Carl Nassib, third-round pick. You have some pretty talented defensive linemen here. I think this is going to be a very, very, very good test. Though the Browns now are more of a 4-3 team than a 3-4 team now. They've kind of switched their defense up a little bit, so we'll see how much they kind of go both ways a little bit.
I think the Browns team collectively is a better defensive team than they are offensive at this point. Would you agree?
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, they don't know who the quarterback is yet. Is it going to be Brock? Is it going to be Kessler? Is it going to be DeShone Kizer? There's a competition there.
Wow. Can you just imagine? You have Brock there at 15 to whatever million it is, and there's a competition at quarterback.
Yeah, the only reason they took him, though, in that trade is to get the extra pick. 201-939-4513. Nick in the Meadowlands. He's on line three. Nick joins us next on line three on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, Nick. How are you?
What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going? My favorite punter.
Hey, good. I'm glad there's only one.
Papa John.
What's up, Nick? How are you?
Congratulations,
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate
that. What day did she end up coming?
Last Monday, so that was August 7th.
There you go. That's a good day. 7th's a good number. And what'd you end up naming her?
Clara. Clara Linda Schmelk.
Linda, my mother's name.
So is mine.
Means beautiful, moon goddess, great name.
Very good, Nick.
There you go.
What do you want to say about the Giants? I
told you I had two daughters. I went over all the names.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple. I've been listening all week. I haven't been able to call in. It's been busy, every time I called. But with the offensive line, the defensive line, from what I saw, starting with the defense, Landon Collins picking up where he left off. Looks great, looks like his idol, Sean Taylor, out there, man. He's, I love Landon Collins, man.
He's a good player.
I love him. But I like, what I saw, Darian Thompson moving around, He made a couple good tackles. Everything looked good. But, going to offense, I think everybody's jumping the gun, It's the first preseason game. Come on. You know what I mean? From what I saw, I agree with the last caller. The interior, I saw them getting pushed around. Hart looked good. And T.J. Watt, And by the way, I think he went to the perfect team. He's going to be a good player, T.J. Watt.
I think he'll be a good player, too. I agree. I mean, there was a reason he was a borderline first-round pick.
I mean,
Got a motor.
I saw Eric Flowers. He didn't look back. I mean, the guy, Johnson, he came up in the pocket. He pushed right into free. All he had to do was step to the left, and he ran right into him for the
play.
Sack.
It was a busted you know? Play.
Yeah, but Eric
and
Flowers
then,
did not
then,
allow
sack
any sacks
on
in that
Flowers.
Game. Correct.
It was a screen. The guy ran free. He's supposed to run free.
Correct. And he was Nick. He was not responsible for any of those two sacks.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's the and listen. I'm a realist. I mean, Figs, you know about this. I mean, and John, you know about it too, because you guys either you've been around the game your whole life or you've played the game. And I think a lot of people they look at it as, oh, the guy's got the ball in his hands and this guy handed it off and he's running and this guy caught the ball. They don't see the whole concept and the little details in between, and they just think, oh, it's, they hear this, they hear that, they think it's on this guy. And you know what? If Flowers doesn't pan out this year, then all of these people that are crying, they're probably going to be happier next year because they're going to do something. You know,
well,
they're
going to have to wait a year
it.
To find out.
But you know what? The same people that were crying the year after Flowers didn't have such a good year, which was his, you know, his first year was all right. It was his rookie year, though. He got thrown in there when Beatty got hurt. And then after that, the next year, you know, people already want to draft another freaking tackle. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, people get it together, really. You know what I mean? And with the running game, what I saw with Perkins, I mean, it's the first preseason game. What I liked was seeing the fullback leading, you know, Lee blocking in there.
You know, Nick, real quick, here's the thing about the running game, and I think this is with all the harping, you know.
Nick,
the thing with everybody harping about Eric Flowers and the tackles and the pass rusher and the sacks and all that stuff, I thought what was kind of missed in the whole mix of that thing on Monday night, the blocking in the run game to me did not take the step forward you're looking for, and I think that's got to be.
Yeah.
And I'll have a chance to talk to Mike Sullivan later on today, or the coordinators we made available to the media. I want to know where they need to see improvement in that run game to get better movement up front, to have the running backs make better decisions, whatever the case might be, because the Giants' run game last week looked like their run game last year. If the team wants to be better this year, that can't be the case.
I hear you on that, but you know what? It's the first preseason game.
Right.
And you know what? It, like a metaphor here, these guys are not finely tuned race cars until about week four. And I think you and I both know that.
That's
you know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Nick.
You know what I mean? But one more thing.
Yeah,
guys.
real quick. Sure.
With the lead block and this guy, Shane Smith, he plays special teams, right, too. He looks good on special teams. I think he'll make the team.
He's got a shot.
And that'll help you in that because you saw they picked up that fourth and one. You know, Perkins, you know, busted out with the run. And then after that,
the
Steelers had their number ones in there, and they knew they were going to run because Johnson, that guy just held on to the ball, and he just holds on to the ball the whole time. They knew they were going to run the ball. So it was kind of like, you know, they knew what was going to happen, so they're plugging the holes right away and doing what they did. And Red Ellison looked good to me. He blocks well. He's going to be, if you watch him on Minnesota, he's going to be everything that
yep.
You saw there. He's going to be
a
very
player.
Good player. He's solid. So
thank you, Nick.
Just don't jump the gun, guys, you know?
Appreciate
don't jump
that.
The gun, fans. They're going to be all right. Give it a little bit of time. Wait till they get to week two or three. You know, as long as they win those games, I don't care how they win them.
Well, that's true. All right, Nick.
But
appreciate
they'll be
it,
finally
man.
Tuned by week four.
Thank
they'll
you,
be all right.
Good stuff. 201-939-4513. And, of course, you want to try to get that win week one against Dallas. That's kind of an important one.
Red Ellison will be he'll be a lot of help. For both Hart and for Flowers.
I've been saying for most of the offseason, with Red Ellison, I'm not sure if they're going to keep a traditional fullback. I don't think I've gone off my position yet, but I think I've softened it a little bit.
Okay, so that's a good point. So that takes us back to the defensive line position.
It does.
Because there is a sacrificial lamb there somewhere.
Or do you sacrifice a lamb from tight end? Because my whole thing was I wanted to keep four tight ends and not take a fullback. If you're keeping a fullback, you're only keeping three tight ends.
That's correct. And
period.
Yeah. And again, we still have a long ways until September. And there, you know, there's always things that happen. You know, so it's just the roster moves they're all fluid. It keeps changing all the time, so it's very difficult. We can only guess, but you know, you got to start looking at where the depth is on some of the, you know, not so much the depth, but Where's the logjam at certain positions? And tight end is one of them. You got a kind of an extra guy there. Then you have a fullback position. So you're really talking about maybe two players there to keep one other guy on the defensive line. Not a lot of depth at corners. So we can't sacrifice there.
No, you have to have a lot of corners.
So in safety, you got to have three safeties, right?
At least.
And one of those guys can maybe play, you know.
You might have to have four safeties.
You might, but, you know. It's going to be tough.
And you know what's funny? And Bob Pappas said this to me that he goes, John, for the first time in a long time, and I agree with him on this, when you get to this final 53 cut and you let guys go in the past, not many of the guys the Giants have let go of, you know, immediately went on and signed on with other teams. This year, I think you're going to have a lot of guys that get cut loose by the Giants get picked up by other teams relatively quickly.
Yeah, because of the need and the positions that they are heavy at, especially defensive line. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think the when you talked about the running game, I think you made a good point, John, is that not so much, you know, we're always trying to identify what Flowers is doing. Look as a whole, the running game, and that's the point of attack for these linemen. They've got to, you know, they got to get a hat on a hat and create that hole because, listen, Darkwa and Perkins, they have good vision. They'll hit the hole quickly. Okay, so and in the NFL, it opens and closes very quickly. So those guys got to get in their assignments, their responsibilities, open up those holes because you would just like to love to see that running game just get going, you know. And we'll see. We got a good defense against Cleveland. I mean, not the greatest and stuff, but I mean, we'll see what happens with the running game this week.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason in Eastern Maine. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Jason in Eastern Maine.
How you doing, Jeff? John?
What's up, Jay?
What's that?
What's going on?
We're wonderful. Happy Friday. How you doing up there? Is it snowing up there today? It's raining down here.
No, it probably will be snowing soon.
How about it? What's going on, my man?
Hey, just two questions for you guys. The first one is, can you just maybe comment on non-starting offensive linemen? Maybe some good things you've seen from some of the guys back there that you've seen so far?
I think Brett Jones has continued to show progress. He's always going to be limited physically, but mentally he's very sharp. He's good technique-wise.
Yes.
And I think he's an adequate backup at center and to swing at guard. I think he'll be fine. And then Jeff talked about Fluker a lot earlier. Big man, powerful, you know, better run blocker than a pass blocker. He's set there. And then I think there's a competition between Wheeler and Biznavati for that swing tackle spot. And Jeff, to me, that's where we're at, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got Adam Geddes in there. It's just, you know, it's just kind of ho-hum here, you know, this, that.
I feel like Adam Geddes has been here for like 8 years.
But that's
now,
what I mean. That's what I meant by ho-hum.
Right.
It's just like you don't ever really talk great about him. You don't really talk bad about him. He's just a consistent guy. Unfortunately, a consistent backup. But, you know, that's you know, when you talk about the guys that are in camp, I mean, how many offensive linemen is this team going to keep? You know,
eight, right?
I
got to
think
right?
Eight. Yeah, because eight and usually is one guy getting inactivated every week. It's probably going to be Wheeler or Biz, depending on which one of those guys can play special teams better. That's a big thing.
And the question, though, too, is that if one of those guys if that guy is the guy that's inactive, then you don't have a swing tackle off the bench. That's a problem. Unless Fluker can be a swing tackle off the bench.
I think he could.
He hasn't taken a lot of snaps to tackle, though.
But
that'll be interesting.
In a pinch.
Jason, what's your second question?
Yeah, my other one is, I'll just take this off the air after this, but I'm wondering if you guys can just comment on Brandon Marshall so far, how he's looking. Does he look fast? Does he look the same that he's been? Do you think he's a step slower? If you can comment on him, and I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
I think Brandon Marshall is doing fine.
He's fine.
I don't see him any slower, any faster. I see him being very consistent. I see him a guy that's learning the offense, a guy that's getting rhythm with Eli. I feel he's learning, if you can do that at that age, being a veteran. And I also think he's learning to be number two.
And he's never been a speed guy anyway.
No. I mean, yeah. Maybe speed off the line or something like that.
The thing with me that hits me on Marshall right away is his frame. He's just a big
dude. He's a great target.
Oh, absolutely.
Great target.
I mean, he's bigger than Evan Engram in terms of, like, height and wingspan, in my opinion, at least.
I feel that Brandon Marshall, his maturity has taken a step forward. I feel he understands that this is his last opportunity to get a Super Bowl ring and even get to the playoffs. He's never done that. So I think he's embracing the moment, and I think that he understands that Odell's the guy. But with Odell being the guy, it's going to maybe make him a better guy too because he's going to get more passes. He's not the number one anymore. So I just love him in the red zone with Engram and some of these other guys. I just watching it out on practice, it's really exciting to see. And we all know that that is an important area that the Giants have to improve on to be better this year. They were horrible in the red. I mean, I wouldn't say horrible, like, you know, 32nd in the league, but they, listen, they were sub, what, they were the 23rd or somewhere in there. But I feel like, you know, you got a lot more targets. He's doing well. He's doing well. We don't hear a lot about him. That's a good thing.
201-939-4513. Another Jason. And in New England as well. He's in Vermont. He's up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's up, Jay?
How's it going, guys?
Doing good. Great. What's up?
I got just a little statement and then a question.
Sure.
My statement is it's nice to see Ellison actually, they're using him in the pass game.
Yeah, how about it?
Because I think if he's just known as a blocker and then you throw him out there, it's kind of giving a play away. It's like, hey, he's going to be blocking.
Good point.
And stuff like that.
And Jason, you know, Jason, when he got here, he actually made the point. One of the reasons he came to the Giants is because when he visited with them, they made the point that they would use him in the pass game a lot more than the Vikings did. So I think that will continue.
Yeah, it was great to see him catching those balls in that game. It was just like, yes, he can do it. And then my one question is, and I'll take it off the air, who do you guys think would be your surprise guy to make the team, and who do you think your surprise guy to not make the team will be?
All right. Appreciate the call, Jason. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
That's a good question.
I need another week.
Honestly, I don't know who the surprise guy to make. I mean, are there surprises
anymore? Go to the positions.
Anymore?
Go to the positions.
Everybody's talking about everybody now. Would Travis Rudolph be a surprise?
Well,
that would be my guy. He's an undrafted free agent.
Well,
you'd
have to
be
a surprise.
I don't know if I would count him as a surprise anymore.
Well, surprise meaning because he's a free agent and he makes the team. You know, kind of like Corey Washington kind of guy, you know, blah, 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 blah.
I would pick Travis Rudolph.
Okay, I think he's got a good shot because, number one, he's a special teams guy. He can field punts. He can return kickoffs. He did a nice job returning kickoffs the other
yes.
night. He's very fluid. He kind of he looks for that hole and just kind of gets up in there before you know he's at the 25, 30-yard line. That would be good.
I don't have a surprise guy not to make the team yet. I think that's too early. I need to see a couple more preseason games before I make that
okay.
call.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. At receiver, I think that's the only surprise you're going to get there is probably Rudolph. I mean – listen, who are the other guys there that – I mean, a surprise to me would be a guy that's on the – you
right.
know, like maybe – okay, I'll tell you a surprise. I'll tell you a surprise. But I don't – the question was who is your surprise. But I'm saying this for an example of a surprise would be Abdullah making the team as a running back. That would be a huge surprise.
Correct.
Don't think that's going to happen, but that's gonna, and I don't think I have one of those guys yet.
Well, and that's what happens when your team is this good and this deep.
And
you're not going to have many surprises. And
no.
quite frankly, you look at some of these positions like cornerback. It's such an open competition after the third or fourth guy. None of those guys would be surprises because nobody really has a leg up on anybody else.
Yeah, I think a year ago we could answer this question, and not only with one person, we
right.
could answer it for three or four. This year we can't.
Like at the tight end spot, like. Would
There's
Matt
no
LaCrosse
surprise.
Be a surprise?
No, it's not a surprise. The guy's been
That's
he's
what
been
I'm saying.
Good.
Would,
he's just been hurt.
Would Shane Smith be a surprise at fullback? See, that's what I'm saying. What's a surprise? You know what I mean?
A surprise is if all of a sudden they're in camp with no fullback and they sign Shane Smith.
Right.
That would be
that's
a huge surprise.
Saying. I know. Let's go back to the phones. Dylan's in Pennsylvania. He's up next. Hi, Dylan.
Dylan, you there?
Hello,
going
Dylan.
Once.
Going once. Dylan going twice, and Dylan, goodbye. And now?
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the head.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're mad, my
man. Here we go.
Charlie in Portland, Maine. What's going on, Chuckles?
Hey, John. Welcome back.
I haven't talked to you in a long time, Charlie. I need my Charlie in Portland, Maine fix.
He's here.
Hey, Jeff.
Are you happy?
Hey, oh, my God. The bar is set so low for this offensive line. It is ridiculous.
How so?
I mean, you said it. Like, Flowers played about 10 snaps, 15 snaps, and you said he did okay.
Yeah, he was good.
No, you didn't say good. You said okay. And then you got Brett Jones, right? He's physically limited, but he's sharp as a tack.
He's a backup. He's your backup. He's your backup, Charlie. Come on.
And then you say, like, I wonder why we can't run the ball. Because, John, we have the same five guys who couldn't run the ball last year. And it hasn't changed.
That's bad.
It's ridiculous.
Charlie, you act like we have a say in this. Like, John and I have no say in this whatsoever. And like you don't either. We can only talk about who's on the team Okay. And to John's point, you know, with Jonesy, he's your guy that can – that's it. We're not playing Madden here where we can go get guys and just plug them in as much as you would like them to do that.
Hey, look, Mangold's still out there. You've got Alberta's out there. We could be improving this team, and we're not going to do it. I just don't understand why this O-line is just in people's eyes. I mean, to me, it's like, you know when they say the cover-up is worse than the crime? That's what's going on.
How so?
The crime was picking Eric Flowers at the number 9 pick to begin with. But you can understand that because it was a crapshoot. But the cover-up is continuing to say Flowers is going to improve and be a good tackle when he's never.
No, but Charlie, hold on one second. Hold on, Charlie. You can't – is it fair to say – after just 2 seasons, that a player is not capable of improving?
Yeah, in Flowers' situation, yes.
Yeah, but
he
it's
cannot
not.
Get
it's...
technique. Did you see him in the practices and in the game? He is up so high. He doesn't get down. I mean, he's already ready to, you know, backpedal. And it's probably going to be a running play. Look, Flowers can block. He can block on the running play. Why don't they just swallow their pride and say, you know what? He'd probably be better on the right side. We can run over there. Put Fluker in there. Now you got a big guy Fluker. You got a big guy Flowers, and you can put Ellison on that side. You could probably actually run the ball.
Charlie.
All you need is to get a left tackle, and the whole line will change. And Richburg cannot block anybody who's over 320 pounds.
We're not winning a game this year.
Hey, Charlie, real quick. Last year, all you did was call up and you quoted Pro Football Focus's terrible grades with Eric Flowers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, go read what Pro Football Focus put up 1 minute ago. Maybe they're listening to the show and they heard you, so they put this up on Twitter. Jeff, go ahead, please.
May I? It's only preseason. Right, we know that. But Eric Flowers held up in limited work in pass protection last week, coming from Pro Football Focus grading system, 12 pass block snaps, 0 sacks allowed, 0 pressures allowed, and 12 pass plays. That's all you can ask of him, right? I mean, and you love Pro Football Focus, Charlie.
Hey, Jeff, who did he go up against? Did
he go up against the first string? No. You cannot use that against him. He has to play.
First of all, Charlie.
What are you supposed to do?
Charlie, he went up against their first round pick, TJ Watt.
Yeah, and how did that work? He went by him a couple of times.
No. I am giving you the Mutombo on that one. TJ Watt did not get around Eric Flowers. Josh Johnson ran into a sack by TJ Watt after Flowers blocked him properly.
After Flowers let him go, if you look at the play, Flowers let him go. And the other thing about Hart at least is improving. But Hart is not going to be a tackle in this league. He never will be. He's better suited at guard. Everybody knows it. Except
everybody doesn't know it. What do you mean everybody knows it, Charlie? When you
knows
say
it.
Everybody knows it, that includes the personnel department here. I guess they know it, but they want to keep him at tackle.
The O-line, well, because you don't have any tackles because they won't bring anybody in.
Sure.
This O-line, like I said, the bar is so low for this. And the thing is, how do you expect to run the ball when we have the same 5 guys as last year? We're not going to. It's going to be the same mess. And they've got to make – you know, all I keep hearing is, you know, we got to make the team better. The team is always looking to make the team better. Well, we don't have the O-line.
I feel like it's
Dallas
April.
Does.
Charlie, we went through the options at tackle all offseason. It's not like this is anything new. We talked about the guys that were available, and frankly, most of them were not better choices.
Hey, look, you know, I just watched the Dallas-LA game. You know the guy that I was talking about last year, Dan Skipper? The freak who's like 6'8",
yes.
Left tackle,
yes.
Right tackle. He was third string guys. He was probably going up against. But that guy was a monster, and he was an undrafted free agent. Yeah. We could have brought him in.
Yeah, he was going up against third-team guys, though.
And Charlie,
you always use that against these guys. Well, who does he play against? Now you're going to compare the big guy against a third-team group.
And Charlie, by the way, 3 months ago, you called up and were yelling about Emmett Cleary was going to be a starting lineman for the Cowboys, and he's probably not even going to make that roster, by the way. Just FYI, he's like third on their depth chart at left guard.
There was a bet from that. There was a bet. Hey, you know it, too, Charlie.
Going to make the roster.
No, there was a bet. You guys made a bet on Emmett Cleary. I remember the bet.
If I was starter, JR, any offensive lineman Dallas cut, I would bring him in a heartbeat because they're going to be 10 times better than what we've got in our depth.
They'll probably be suspended, so they won't be able to play anyway.
Charlie, we got to run, pal.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Care.
Appreciate the call. I got my Charlie fixed. I'm happy.
Nauseating.
I'm happy. All right, let's go to Tony in Huntington Beach, California.
He's not happy.
Hey, Tony. Charlie's never happy. Hopefully, Tony's a little happier than Charlie.
Well,
What's up, Tony?
We got him happy one time. He said it on the line.
Well, Tony's up early today. Happy? I'm impressed, Tony. What's going on?
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Well, let me tell you about me first, and then we'll go on to the Giants on my suggestion.
Sure. All right.
So, in 1958, the Dodgers moved from Brooklyn to L.A.
Okay.
And my heart was broken.
Okay.
So the only thing that ever solved me that my first professional football game was the game of the century against the Colts.
Okay.
So I went to that game in 59.
Awesome.
And that turned me on to the Giants. So I can remember leaving the stadium after the loss and the Baltimore fans screaming, yelling, calling us midgets and everything else like that. And then it really turned me on. And I became a Giant fan, signed up for season tickets, had season tickets for 40 years.
Very good, Tony. That's awesome.
And I became a hard and fast Giant fan. But here's my suggestion.
Sure.
Listen to the program yesterday you guys were talking about, you know, do we keep four tight ends and six receivers or five receivers and going back and forth? I think what the Giants should do is stay with the four tight ends and the six receivers. Because the most important thing is to protect Eli. And I would definitely keep a fullback.
Okay.
To give that extra protection and improve our running game. Because if he can't have time to let those plays develop, he's not going to be effective, neither with all the top talent that we have at receiving position. And that's my thought for the day.
Tell
Charlie not to call in for another 3 weeks.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate the call. Now, I believe Tony walked out of that game against the Colts with Paul Dottino.
Yeah,
he probably sat next to him.
Yeah, but Dottino was a fan before that, I guess.
And by the way, we've not one of our other I'll use the term older callers. I'm sorry, Joe.
Oh, we haven't heard from Joe in a
but
while.
I haven't heard from Joe in Pennsylvania in a bit. What's going on, Joe? How are you?
Great to hear you guys, the JJ show, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
And congratulations on Clara. That was my mother's name. I don't know how you arrived on it, but that's a derivative of St. Clair, so I'm all for it.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
So anyway, talking about this 53-man roster, yeah, that is going to be very interesting. And I think it's what it's going to come down to in these last three games is, I hate to say it, knock on wood, is injuries, you know, maybe. And I was worrying about Wheeler if you think he would definitely have to go on the 53-man roster, seeing the way tackles are, you know what I mean, that they are hard to get. That, you know, if we would take the chance of trying to sneak him through waivers there at the end and not making the practice squad. And I was concerned about Smith, too, because I'd like to have that blocking fullback there just in case our tight end there, what's his name?
Brett Ellison.
Yeah, in case he'd get hurt. So I was just wondering on that. And what I thought too, like you talked about earlier, the quarterback maybe. If it comes close, like these quarterbacks ain't showing that much that they're really going to step up and do the game, you know, we're hoping that Eli can stay the Iron Man. And, you know, we'll just have to see how they play in these preseason games and possibly only go to two quarterbacks. So, I mean –
Joe, here's the thing.
That's some of my thought on it.
Joe, all this stuff we're talking about, none of it's going to matter if Eli Manning's not still the Iron Man.
Right. And I think it's going to come down to injuries like that, too. But what do you think about Wheeler? You think they would take a chance on him?
No, I
I'm
think
sure they they would want him on the practice squad.
He would fit.
You think?
Yeah, I don't think I think he could pass waivers and go to the practice squad, but if that's what they want. I don't think anybody's out there, you know, scouting Wheeler to think that he's going to be some starting left tackle
and
for
I
you in the league.
I was just thinking the way, you know, it is tough to get tackles, you know. You can see it.
But
there's nobody out there. And what about the fullback too? You think he could just go right through
Not many fullbacks in the league these days.
And
so,
by the way, I think the fullback could get to the practice squad as well, which
is why
I think
we're only
Joe
an injury away from wishing we had them guys on the team. That's,
well, right. Well,
that's
the thing,
question.
And well, and that's why I think if you keep Smith around on the practice squad, and let's say if Red Ellison does get hurt, that's an easy bring up, and I think that can solve your problem real quick. So I do think that's an option.
Well, that's what I was saying, and you think it would be better to have Wheeler at tackle just in case there was an injury and keep him Pugh at guard?
I guess that's an option, but I think Biznavati would probably be your next guy up before you would bring Wheeler up. I think you move
Pugh to tackle. You can't sacrifice a left tackle with inexperience at there. It's like you said earlier, unless you want Eli, if you want Eli to continue playing, you got to have some guy with some experience there.
And Joe.
Yeah, well.
And then, Joe, real quick, I mean, if people complain about Eric Flowers, the left tackle, you put Wheeler out there against, you know, these NFL-caliber pass rushers, I mean, people will be begging for Eric Flowers to be back in the starting lineup. But again, this is nothing against Chad Wheeler. He's
an
undrafted free agent that's learning. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Apple, was that just a minor injury again?
Yes, as far as I know. Correct. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Thank you, and congratulations again.
Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
We haven't done in a while, Jeff?
It's time for everyone's
Did
favorite
you just bring
game.
This guy up?
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff
I
Beagles?
Saw I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL
Very
seasons.
Guy.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Beagles with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John
And
Schmelt.
You usually do.
All right, you ready?
Of course I am. Now listen, for our guys, they've never played this game.
No, they have not played this game before. So here we go. Have you played with... Jamar Taylor?
Oh, goodness.
Had you ever played with Jamar Taylor?
I'm going to tell you. See, here's the thing. I don't recognize the name, which tells me that I probably did. I don't know where and when,
well,
but the answer is no.
Huh?
The answer is no. See? Again,
ironically enough, Jamar Taylor is a starting safety for the Cleveland Browns that the Giants will play Monday night.
Okay, so
but a different Jamar Taylor did play wide receiver for the New York Football Giants in 2004 and 2005.
Oh, goodness.
He caught
gracious.
Six passes in 2004 for the New York Football Giants.
Wow.
Where's it standing up? We're getting closer to 500 as Jeff can give me that marker over there. Jeff continues to falter.
six passes. In 2004.
He was probably a special teamer, though, I bet.
Well, most likely, if he only caught six passes.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, as someone that is one of the leaders of the special team,
no,
you should know the guys out there
no,
with
but
you.
Let me ask you a question. In his career lasted how long?
Two seasons. He played in 13 games, all of which you also played in, by the way. All right, number two.
All right.
Did you ever play with Mike Young? Mike Young.
No, I didn't. Mike Young. I don't remember Mike Young.
You played with Mike Young.
No, I did it
in 1993 with the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike Young caught 14 passes that year for 186 yards.
Good.
Mike Young actually had a 10-year NFL career and played in 114
please.
Games. So no excuses on that one.
Now, you caught me completely off guard today because I'm figuring we're not getting this game in.
We got it
and
in, though.
Mentally, I did not prepare myself.
I got one more.
All right, good, because I got to get one on the board. What am I now? 20?
You're 29 and 25 currently.
No.
Did you play with Cam Johnson? Cam Johnson.
No.
Correct. You did not play with Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson is also a member of the 2017 Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
So you are 30 and 25.
All right, so that's a fun game. obviously we get a lot of comic relief from that. And John thoroughly enjoys this game.
Oh, it's the best. Oh, you
it
like
is
it
a lot
too.
Of fun. I do too. It just goes to show you how much I, you know, don't remember my former.
It shows you how many people you play with.
It's unbelievable.
Just, the reason we do this, folks, Jeff, remind the people how many seasons you play in the NFL.
Just basically 22 rosters. So
22 rosters
back.
Worth of players, yeah. And how many different or franchises? Organizations?
Five different franchises, many coaches,
go.
Lots and lots of players.
That's a lot of players.
Including guys that played 3 and 4 games for one team and then they never know of them again.
It's a 53-man roster, but you're probably looking at 65 guys coming in and off that roster in any given season. So it's tough.
Yep. And you may make a mockery of my memory.
Always.
Which you do.
For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. Jeff
Happy
and
Friday,
Lance
folks.
Will be with you next Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Day
Lance.
Of the game against the Browns and the Giants. They'll preview that for you. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk.
Have
Thanks
a good
so
weekend.
Much for joining us. We'll see you on Monday. And, of course, stay tuned to Giants.com all day today for coverage of practice and the coaches and players when they speak to the media when practice is completed. We'll see you then, everybody. Take it easy.